Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God, through His Son, our Savior Jesus the Christ, has called us with three commands: to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we unravel that every Sunday here at our time together, it's the understanding of we need to learn to love God, we need to learn to love others, and we need to learn to go. And that is a lifelong process, because so much of life pulls us away from those three realities, and we need to come to them as life itself, because in them the fullness of the Scripture is wrapped up, and from them we find our salvation and our life. So may we attune to it today as we continue on in this sermon series that I've entitled Adultery versus Humility. And this is from Mark. It began in 9 and 30, and it's going to end in 10 and 52. And today we are picking up once again. We are going to begin at chapter 10, verse 1, and we're going to read through a portion. Now, we're not going to get through it all today. With the time that we have, we will get as far as we can, and then we will finish next week on this sermon series. But again, we're looking here, and Jesus, over this period of several days, is teaching the same thing. He's just using different manners to teach it because of where the people's hearts were. I want you to think about our world right now. And where is the heart of our world? Where do people find themselves focused? I want you to think about what is the most popular things that are out there right now. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all this social media stuff that everybody's posting into. What does it all focus on? Me, myself, and I. We have a society that is turned so far inward that there's no outward focus. It's all about me, and if you don't make me happy, then the world's not going to be happy, because it's all about me. But that's every me making that statement. And yet we see it not just here, but we have seen this throughout time, and we understand that Jesus said as we get closer to that day, these things are going to increase. So today I want us to look at the reality of that word and what the Lord has to say. Now, some of you are going to think this first section doesn't apply to you, but I'm going to tell you right now the principles behind it do. The situation in which was used may not, but the principles do. So let us turn to the word of the Lord as we begin in chapter 10 and verse 1. Getting up, He went from there to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. Crowds gathered around him again, and according to his custom, he once more began to teach them. Some Pharisees came up to Jesus, testing him, and began to question him whether it is lawful for a man to divorce his wife. And he answered and said to them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." In the house, the disciples began questioning him about this again. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she herself divorces her husband and marries another man, she's committing adultery." Now, the one thing I want you all to understand as Jesus is speaking here, because again, it speaks against the woman committing adultery in both situations. But is not the man also committing adultery in that situation? Yes, he is. So again, we need to read it for what it's telling us, because in the culture, it was inclusive. And we understand that, but many people will try to say that, oh no, this is the only way it is. No, it is inclusive. The man or the woman, both would be considered adulteresses. However, what's the precept here? What's the principle that Jesus is trying to teach here? He says to us that God joined them together at the beginning and let no man separate. Amen? Because a marriage is not about me, myself, and I. A marriage is about us. It's two people coming together with God to form a union, to form a whole nother oneness. It is not about me, it's about us. And the us includes God as that point that holds it together. So therefore, we walk in humility of spirit. But in our world today, not only in the world, but in the church, we find that there is a divorce rate of 53 to 54%, and that is both in the church and in the world for first-time marriages. 53% of all first-time marriages end in divorce. Why? Because my needs weren't met. Because I don't feel like loving you anymore. It's all about me, myself, and I. And God has told us it's about the we. When I counsel marriage couples, and I'm going to ask you, is marriage, if it's going to be a good, solid marriage, it has to be a 50-50 proposition, right? A marriage is supposed to be a 100-100 proposition. We cover one another completely and totally. If you come at each other at 50-50, what are you doing? How many of you feel like that sometimes in your marriage? I know I just spoke about that with my dear wife, okay? Married 40 years. We get along wonderfully. Yes, her fist fits in my face and my foot in her butt, okay? Poor Lynn. She's not here today. She's babysitting little Emery and Lily. But it's just so amazing to me because when we think about it, it is a 100-100. Even when we don't agree with each other, we need to walk away and come back and then mend and make this thing work. It is a work that only God can accomplish in two people that are entirely different. I want you to think about your spouse, all of you that have spouses. How different from you is your spouse? Why did you choose them? Because they're different from you. If you were both the same, you couldn't stand each other. But yet, isn't that what we try to do? We try to make the other person just like me, because what do we want to emulate? Me. We need the other. We need their difference, because then we become one. Where I am lacking, Lynn picks up. Where Lynn is lacking, I pick up. And it's a wholeness. And God says, and you've got to have me in there in order for this thing to work. It's a place of humility. It's a place of walking with Him. And because if we don't, we make this sin even worse by adding another sin to it by becoming adulterers. And it is so amazing. Now, folks out there are going to say, oh, but I'm divorced and now I'm remarried. Make it work. All right? Does God forgive? Yes, He does, and we all know it. If you walked in that and we can't change the past, but how many of us can work on the future? Notice I didn't say that you can change it. You can what? Work on it. And that's what we need to be, is a work in progress. And that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to see. I mean, here He is teaching. He's talking about the holiness of God. He's talking about humility. He uses the children to show us the way that we should be, right? He uses the children. Well, guess what He does right now? He's going to use the children again. He just comes off of talking to these Pharisees, these educated people of the law. Remember, they were the ones who literally practiced the law. They were the lawyers. So they understood what they were asking Him very well, because they wanted off the hook. They wanted to be able to have their cake and eat it too, rather than work on it. But God says, no, you need to work on it, because you need to have a faith that is a little bit different than a man-made faith, which deals with myself and what I want and how can I use this thing, to one that says I accept it at face value. What does that look like from verse 13? And they were bringing children to Him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them and laying his hands on them. Now please remember, this just happened in context of the Pharisees questioning him. They're not two separate things. That's why the disciples were trying to separate the children from him, because, oh, he's over here doing this big important work, talking to these big important people. And who comes? The children. Because who is the example of us unto God? The children. And we come unto him as little children, believing what he says. How many of our grandchildren believe everything Grammy and Pappy has to say? I love it. Mom and Dad can tell them no and scold them, and all Pappy has to do is say, "Sweetie, come on now, you know that's not right. That's not being a good girl. You're disappointing Pappy. I'm sorry. I love you, Pappy." "Oh, I love you too, sweetie." And Russell looks at me and says, "What?" Yeah. It's got to be that God complex, that white hair thing I got going on, you know? No, that's how children are. How many of us kick against the goads? We do. But when the presence of wisdom comes in, Jesus Christ, when the presence of love, unconditional love, comes in, what do we gravitate towards? We may not like it, but we'll go there because we know we're loved. We know we're okay. We're safe. And he received them into his arms, and he blessed them, and he laid hands on them. How many of us, that's all we want? "Dad, tell me I'm okay. Show me there's hope." But we have to accept, just like that little child, get rid of me, myself, and I, and come without reservation. I will love you to life. That's what God says. That's what he's showing us here. The love of God is so great, so bountiful, so full of life. And from it we find life. And I pray that we begin walking into it, because the idolatry of self, the idolatry of things, is going to separate us from him forever. He said it right here. Unless we come to the kingdom of God like a child, we will not enter it at all. That's his words. They're not mine. I've got to receive it into the depth of my being and know that there's nothing I can do that'll get me in. Can I get an amen, church? I swear I'm buying that shirt. Can I get an amen, church? Because, brothers and sisters, that is the amen. Jesus is the amen. And through him and from him comes all things. But how hard is it for us? Let's read on, because Jesus isn't done teaching. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now I need to stop there, because I want to make sure you caught what just happened. Who did Jesus just say he was? Yeah, Jesus right here in these words is inferring to us that he is God. Because he then answers the question. And that's what we have to understand. If he wouldn't have answered the question, he'd have not been putting himself in that place. But because he answers the question, he is giving us that assurance that he is God. And he has the answer. And here is the answer. "You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. Pardon me. And he said to him, Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, One thing you lack. Go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Pardon me. But these words, he was saddened. And he went away. Yes, please. Sorry, I don't have any water up here this morning. And boy, that got a dry spot. Looking at him, Jesus felt love for him. And he said to him, One thing you lack, go and sell all you possess. And give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Boy, do I have people that care for this pastor or what? I'm telling you, I am blessed, and I am the most unprepared, as you can imagine. Give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus looked around, says to his disciples, How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. Then the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They were even more astonished and said to him, Then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, With people it is impossible, but with God, not so. For all things are possible with God. Peter began to say to him, Behold, we have left everything to follow you. And Jesus said, Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers, sisters and mothers, children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. As I think about these words, here's this rich young ruler. He's coming up. Jesus has been teaching about idolatry, and he's been teaching about humility. And yet here's this new one that comes up, and he throws his own idolatry, all his property, all his wealth, everything he owned, all his position, and all that meant more to him than the position that he could have with God and before God, because he was asking him the very question of how do I know I'm getting in? And he couldn't receive the truth. How many of us find ourselves there not understanding that we have literally turned our way from the Lord because we want all the creature comforts? I'm going to tell you all right now, there's a time coming, according to the scriptures, where we're not going to have the creature comforts. In fact, we may not have any comforts whatsoever. We don't know what that time is going to look like other than the picture that is presented to us, and it looks pretty bleak. And remember, I am not an escapist. We do not get out of here in the rapture before this stuff begins. It will be, as Christ said, as in childbearing. And if I looked at my nurses, you know, especially Miss Marion, she was a maternity nurse. She was up there on the ward for how many years were you up there, Marion? 40 years she delivered babies. How many women were in pain during those 40 years? All of them. I thank you for that answer. You betcha. The ones who didn't want the epidural at the end were screaming for it, weren't they? Yes, they were. And that's what's going to happen. We're all going to be screaming for the epidural. Well, that's the rapture. And it will come. But it's not going to come at a time that we expect it. We don't know when it's going to come, but we're going to find ourselves in the trouble. And that trouble is where this young man found himself. All this stuff he wanted, he didn't want to have to go through the pain. He didn't want to have to go through the suffering. What did he tell Peter? You will go through persecutions. And that's exactly what we're going to do. But then he also tells Peter that if you give up all these things, he's going to give unto you mothers and brothers and sisters and farms and land and all this kind of stuff. You know, I've been at this for a bunch of years now. I gave up my farm. I got rid of everything. And it so amazes me because, again, what's Peter putting before them? Looky what I did. Am I going to get anything out of this? Me, myself, and I. They just don't get over the idolatry, do they? And that is idolatry. And God says, but you're going to inherit so much more than that here in this world. Brothers and sisters, every time I look out at you, I have brothers and sisters and mothers, and I have farms and I have land. Why? Huh? You don't own that stuff? No, but you do. And how many of you invite pastor to your place? How many of you open your homes to me? I don't have to own it. God does through you. And it's open to me, and that is to have those things. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there are some pastors on this side, there are some Christians on this side, they get wildly blessed. Have you ever noticed that? But to whom much is given, much is required. And that's why he says, and there will be those, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. Because if we've received all the blessing on this side of the grave, how much is there on the other side? So when you get it first, on the other side, you may be at the end of the line. Because you had to have it all on this side. You're going to get in, but Jesus is going to set you down in the binocular section. And those of us who enter in with very little of anything, we may be the ones sitting right next to him. I don't know, but I know he does. For the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. I don't know about you, but I think about that, and I also think to myself, where would you rather be? At the beginning or the end? At the supper table? I want to be somewhere about the middle. You know what that means? I got a little bit here, and I'm getting a little bit there. Doesn't that sound about right? That's the American way, right? Yeah. I want to be mediocre. No, I pray that he sets me towards the head of the table. Why? Because I want to sit at his feet. I don't want to sit so far away I can't hear what he's saying. I want to sit at his feet. That's where I want my life to be. But it has to be there now. In order to be there then, it has to be there now. I have to humble myself, submit myself to the Lord, and allow him to love me unto life. Today, that's our teaching. We need to come as those kids once again. Three times during this time, you've spoken it. Three times he brings us back to that place of humility. Three times he talks about different forms of idolatry. How many of us have idols in our lives? We really do. And Jesus says, lest we become like these little children, get rid of the idols. I think it's wonderful. You know, today I'm getting ready. I'm going to leave here today, go home, change clothes, and I'm headed back down to Seven Valleys. Because we're having a birthday party for Emery. He turns one. You know, my little chunky grandson, and y'all have seen him. He's, oh my gosh, he's like 3 pounds lighter than his sister, and she's four. 1 year old. And I go down there, and it's so amazing because Pappy will walk up to him. And all I got to do is say, how's my big boy? And he just goes. The biggest smile you'd ever want to see. But I think it's funny because he's going to get all kinds of birthday presents, right? He's 1 year old. He's not going to get anything big or important. But he's going to be like all about this one until he sees the next one, right? And then he's going to be all about this one until he sees the next one. Because even at the age of one, he is still a sinner. Because it is innate in him because of Pappy's DNA being passed down. But by the grace of God, he sees their innocence. And that's what he sees in us through Christ, is our innocence. If we hold to that truth, hold to him, he is our hope and our life. Amen? Amen. Pray with me this day. Father God, we come before you, understanding that we need to give self away. We need to give away the idols of our lives. Use them to further the kingdom. Because in that, Lord, you give us even more. For to whom much is given, much is required. And you have given us so much through the salvation of your Son that we don't even understand that. So, Father, help us to walk in that humility, that we may truly present Christ in our lives, and if we have to, speak. But may our life be an example lived unto others in the humility of thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.